No,
it's
I don't think so.
It's actually really sweet.
Ooh. I like it.
It's got a medicinal flavor.
It's mostly honey.
That's what I really pick up on, is a lot of honey.
No, I do not like it.
Just a tiny hint.
Tastes like cigar smoke.
Michigoni and Degree. All the best podcasts are free. Simon Ginger and Witty. Playing games and drinking tea. Call a pound stone, never lie. The best podcast for its size. So hang out with your new best friend. With a friend for Hidden.
Hello, welcome to Grand Rapidians Play Video Games.
Where some world record holders get together, have a beverage, talk some real life XP video game, and recommend something.
Yes, we do. Today's quote from the little book is...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
These are my little friends. And that was attributed to Rudy. And that's all I know about it.
Okay. And today we have special guests.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Eric from the Side Questing Podcast. How are you guys all doing today?
Good. And welcome.
Hey, Eric. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. It's so surreal to like just hear you listen to you guys week after week and then finally be on the show. That's awesome.
Well, we are grateful that you came on.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
But Ginger, I don't think we introduced ourselves either. Now you introduce yourself.
Oh. I did not, Willie. No. I'm Ginger. That was fucking backwards. Fuck. We're just second rate over here. It's all good.
I mean, maybe I should introduce you guys. Yeah, I don't know.
You could. Yeah. I'd be like, it's Ginger and Willie.
All right. Well, let's start with beverages. Ginger, you've got something brewing there right now.
Yes. I actually really like this tea, and I have some blueberry white tea in this cute little, like, dinosaur thing.
Oh my gosh.
Here.
It is a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
That is yes. The most amazing thing I've ever seen.
It's kind of a pain in the ass to load up, but it's cute, so I'll deal with it. And I got it from my sister-in-law, so...
It's like a silicone Tyrannosaurus Rex-shaped tea diffuser.
Yes, for your loose-leaf teas.
Uh-huh. That's awesome.
So
I'm definitely going to have to pick
one. I already know this is good tea. So
definitely.
It's still a little warm, but this tea is from a local place here called Global Infusions, and they have a shit ton of loose-leaf tea spices that you can get in bulk there. Mm-hmm. And it's really great. And it's a small business. And it's has really amazing tea. The blueberry white, I'm going to give a 5 out of 5.
Nice.
Because it's amazing.
Nice.
I agree with the 5 out of 5.
I'll take your word for it.
What are you drinking today, Eric?
I'm going to pretend to know something about beer. So I'm drinking a Truth IPA from Rheingeist Brewery down in Cincinnati, Ohio. I like IPAs. I don't know too much about beers, but I tend to like IPAs. It's got 7.2% alcohol content, so it's pretty good. I'm definitely
it'll give you a buzz.
I'm definitely with a long Labor Day weekend, definitely trying to get buzzed. So I don't know too much about it other than that it's from the guys out in Cincinnati, Ohio. Don't know too much about the brewery, but my buddy got it for me and I'm drinking it, so
hell yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a free beer.
True.
I bet it tastes even better.
Oh, it definitely tastes better when it's free. I'd probably give it a 4 out of 5, definitely. I love IPAs. Cool. I don't know what it is about IPAs. I just really like the taste. Goes down nice and smooth. Gets me pretty good in buzz without having to drink a bunch of them. So it's a bonus.
Right.
Yeah. And I have a bottle of water
some
on.
Some of them are juicy.
A bottle of water on standby for backup, too. 5 out of 5 for the water.
Hydration.
Yes. Hydrate before you dehydrate.
All right. Well, I have an IPA here myself also. I finally found some Double Two-Hearted Ale from Bell's.
Oh.
Picked up a 6-pack, and yeah, I'm going to pop one open. Uh-oh, I got the crappy bottle opener. Let's see if I can make a noise.
The sandal foot thing.
Not bad.
It worked. All right, Double Two-Hearted.
How is it, Will?
It's good. The normal Two-Hearted is, floury and bitter hop. The juice undertones are less. This one, it's more bitter because it's double hopped, but it brings out like a caramelly flavor.
Holy shit!
So it's not quite as refreshing as regular Two Hearted because it's so much heavier. It's sweeter, more sugary, caramelly, but it also has more alcohol in it.
Yeah, it should, since it's a double.
You think so, yeah.
They tend to have more alcohol in it.
That sounds
this delicious. One is 11% alcohol by volume.
That'll get you feeling pretty good.
And the Two Hearted are already a little higher in alcohol. Normally.
I think the standard is like 8.6.
Oh, wow.
And it's really good. I'm going to give this, I'll give it 4.25 out of 5. Not quite as good as regular Two Hearted, but it's a really good one. If you're looking for a strong IPA. Good luck finding it, though.
Nice.
Yeah, where would I have to go to find something like that?
They just started making it last year, and I think this is the second batch they put out.
Oh, okay.
So Bell's is a local brewery here in Michigan in Kalamazoo, but they grow and bottle stuff in Comstock, Michigan.
Okay.
And that's south of us, so probably your, like, little beer store.
Yeah.
With, like, micro brews or, like, specialty brews. And
whoever
shit.
Has the special releases that, you know, where you can buy the expensive bottles one at a
when
time.
They keep that 120 minute behind the counter so no one can buy, like, more than one and shit.
Because it's $15 a bottle.
Worth it, though.
That's the one fucking thing that is lame about the whole beer industry. And even labeling for, like, allergens is a bitch. But Bell's does good.
That's good. Well, it definitely might be worth a trip for me out there. I mean, I live in Northwest Indiana, so that's not too far. I could definitely make a trip out there for that.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we finally saw some Three Floyds.
Oh, yeah. That's right in my backyard. Yep, that's the one that everybody knows out here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That, and I think
this does have a refund status on this for Connecticut, Maine, Vermont, Massachusetts, New York, Iowa, Oregon, and Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Do you guys have a bottle deposit in Indiana?
I'm not too sure. I'd have to double check and see. We've only been out here for like a year and a half, right. And pretty much like after we moved in this, the pandemic hit. So it was just kind of like, oh, well, we have no time to learn anything. Yeah. It's just stay in your houses now, so...
Right.
Yeah. But we have, and Three Floyds is the big one out here. And then I think there's 18th Street Brewery, too, I think is a little more east of me, too. Those are the two really big ones out here. So.
All right. Mm. Yep. Bell's, and we don't talk about the other big one because they fucking suck.
Yeah, I remember that from the other episode. So I was like, don't pick a beer by them. Don't pick a beer by them.
No, they're awful. Mm-hmm. But it's all good.
So it's time for a break and then real life XP. Is that what you're gonna say, Ginger?
I was about to, yes.
I'm sorry I interrupted you.
It's okay. GRPVG is proud to announce our new sponsor.
Independent Canadian retro game store, CartMart.games.
Quality retro game cartridges.
Shop smart, shop CartMart.
Imports, originals, and repros. No jugs, though. You gotta make your own.
For Super NES cartridges, it was Sega, NES, N64, and more games being listed regularly.
Check out cartmart.games for great deals. That's CARTMART.GAMES.
Shop smart. Shop CartMart.
The game of the week is...
Sound Healing, an Interterrain of Consciousness sealed VHS cassette tape. Or Top Gear for Super Nintendo. Now it's time for Real Life XP.
TMCR LLC.
GRPVG.
PVG.
Ginger, would you like to go first? Because I probably will do the same thing if you're going to talk about what I think you're going to talk about.
I doubt it. All right. So a few weeks ago, I had some bad experiences with some cider. Like, two ciders gave me the worst hangover. And I'm like, why am I drinking anymore? This is stupid, and it's not fun anymore. So I decided to actually quit drinking. And that's probably why you heard me do water and then tea and whatnot. So I actually hardly drank any much anymore. Does it make sense?
Yes, it does.
I hardly drink anymore. I cut down in the beginning of the pandemic because I didn't want to go into, like, becoming a raging alcoholic.
Yeah.
And it runs in the family, whether they want to admit it or not. So it's just, for this foreseeable future, I'm not going to drink alcohol anymore. And I'll be your DD if we go to a brewery. So.
Hopefully they start opening new ones up again soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's already pain in the ass because of my food allergies with beer. And then, like, liquor, I already was careful with because it's liquor. So, yeah. I don't care if other people fucking drink. It doesn't matter to me.
So I'll just have to get you some of those gluten-free peanut butter cups with pretzels and say, hey, Ginger, oh my God, I'm at the brewery. Come pick me up and you can have my candy.
It's like, I will be right there.
Dude, Reese's has the gluten-free pretzels in their pretzels peanut butter cups. Fuck really? Yes. I'll try they some rock. I'm so Reese's. Happy with them. Dude, I'm so happy.
All right, so you quit drinking a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Just because it's good for you?
Yeah, it's good for me. I might as well. Yeah. I hardly did it anyways, so why bother if it's just going to make me feel like shit?
Yeah.
There's literally no point. So, I'll say 15,000 points.
Hell yeah.
All right. For sure. Well, no, that's not what I thought you were going to talk about. I thought you were going to talk about the concert we went to, and we saw the Frank Zappa Band and King Crimson.
Well, that was the birthday present that I bought for him.
Like a year and a half ago.
Year, yeah. For his 40th. Mm-hmm.
And so now that I'm 41, we got to go see the concert finally.
It was really cool. Uh-huh.
What was that like going like to a big gathering like that, like after everything that's been going on the last year and a half? Because I've been missing live music very much and just haven't ventured out to do that yet.
It was
a little weird. Pretty crowded. All the seats, not quite all the seats were full, but they had all been sold. You could tell a lot of people hadn't shown up.
You're just like, is it okay for us to be out here? Like,
right. And it was outside, so that kind of helped us a little more being around so many people.
We had seats that were close, but we were maybe two dozen rows back, and so we weren't up in the really crowded front area. And so we had a couple empty seats next to us, and we were right on the aisle. So that was kind of nice.
It was awesome to see his face when he kept walking closer. He's like, closer? I was like, yeah. That's awesome. Well, you said you wanted to see him. Uh-huh. So I was like, let me fucking splurge a little bit on some better seats, because I usually don't for concerts, because I'm short. So I don't give a fuck about being up close because I won't be able to see because everyone's way taller than me. But I was glad that there were seats, actually.
Yep.
And there were so many olds.
That's awesome.
There were so many old motherfuckers there. We were probably some of the younger people and we were like 30 and 40. There were so many olds, but... The Zappa Band was cool. Sorry, this is your real life XP, Will.
So I think that's worth 15,000 points also. Got to drink some $13 beers and...
I didn't drink anything but water. It was so fucking hot.
Oh, I bet.
It was so fucking hot there. But...
Yeah. When I was there, I thought that was expensive. But, you know, thinking about it, that's probably not bad for a large venue concert beer. $13. It was a tall boy can, so...
Yeah, it was at Meadowbrook Amphitheater on Oakland University over in Rochester Hills, Michigan. Okay. So that's just north of Detroit.
Yeah. I mean, 13's definitely not bad. I've paid like $12 for a really small old Milwaukee at Wrigley Field, like this tall. So I mean, that's definitely not bad.
That's
That was for the premium.
Absolutely stupid.
They had Miller Lite for 12, and then they had premium for 13. I was like, all right, give me a Heineken.
Right. Yeah.
For one more dollar.
We're on a busy street.
All right, Eric, what's your real-life XP?
Well, it relates to, like I said, me apologizing to you guys yesterday because we were supposed to really do the show yesterday.
No worries.
Yeah, I had it in my calendar that we were supposed to do it today, so I apologize. But
no worries at all.
My lovely fiancé and Taylor and I had a bunch of wedding stuff we had planned for yesterday, and so we went out and got a lot of stuff taken care of. We got the hotel rooms taken care of, got the cake taken care of, got tuxedos and invitations taken care of. That was mostly like 90% her effort because she's just been doing an amazing job with all that. And I'm just sitting there like, I don't know what to do with my hands or anything. So, the main thing I took care of was the hotels, and she's been doing everything else. So, I think that'd probably be worth, I'll give myself like 5,000 experience points. And then I want to give
you better bump this.
Well, I was going to give the remaining 500,000 to Taylor. So that she could, she definitely deserves the bulk of the real life XP on that, just because she's been absolutely killing it. So, we're about.
I commend anyone doing a big wedding like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you said hotel rooms. Are you having a destination wedding, or are you having people come visit you?
We're just doing.
Come where you are.
We're going a little further east in Indiana, to LaPorte. It's by Michigan City, and so we're just getting we're just getting blocks of rooms out there, just because it's a little bit further for a lot of our family who are out in Illinois and stuff. But we just wanted to be able to have a great time at the reception and then just go 5 minutes down the road and not drink and drive and just have not even have to worry about that. So that was the main motivating factor. Oh, cool. And it's just been a little
hell yes.
You know, we kind of pushed it back a year, getting married just because of a whole COVID thing. And in the middle of summer, we're like, all right, good to go. And now Delta's kind of coming back. So it's a little extra stress, but.
And Moo.
Yeah.
Delta and Moo.
Yeah, Delta and Moo. So we're just.
Yay.
So we're just just hold together for a little while longer. Let's hope this all blows over so that we don't have to do anything. But Indiana's normally been pretty chill about the whole COVID stuff for the most part. So I'm not. Taylor gets the majority of my real life XP because she's just been killing it. So, and I've just been I've just been telling her, it's your day, get what you want. So,
well, it's both of your days.
Yes, it's true. But I want to make sure
because when we went to Vegas and got married, he said once to me, whatever. Mm. I said, I don't fucking think so, because if I plan it all and you bitch about something, I'm not taking that hit, motherfucker.
That's true. That's true.
No. But we had a lot of fun. That's what matters. Both of you have fun.
Yeah. We're excited to see all of our loved ones and stuff. And then I got the one thing that's I wanted. Right. I got the we splurged for the open bar. So that's what I wanted. I'm happy. We're ready to go.
That is a splurge, cool. Bro.
It is. But I'm like, we gotta have it, so.
Awesome. But that's great. I'm happy for y'all.
Thank you. It's been one of the most interesting experiences of my
life. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So, and that's why, like I said,
yesterday I got it mixed up,
so I'm sorry. That was completely my bad, so. Uh-huh. And you guys no literally worries. Saved me from getting my ass chewed out, so thank you so much.
Seriously, no worries. It's a long weekend, and we weren't doing anything anyways. But one little tip I'm going to give y'all.
Okay.
Before, during, and after, wherever you're traveling, tell them you're getting married, or you have been married, or you're just recently married, or you're celebrating.
Oh, yeah,
because
your
people
honeymoon?
Give you free shit. Do it.
Oh, I'm going to drop that every chance I get. Be like, yeah, we just got married. Yep, just got married. So
yes.
That's a great tip.
Yes. That's what I tell all newlyweds. Tell everyone. And I know some older people are we do that, every anniversary. We get free shit. I was fuck yeah.
If you're doing it, might as well.
As long as you don't go to the same place for every anniversary. They might catch on eventually.
Dude, Vegas was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
I went there.
That's for sure.
I've been there a couple times in my younger 20s, and the last time we went, my buddy booked the trip for 10 days, and that's a long time to be in Vegas.
Woo!
Yeah, so I was just like,
That's about how... God, we were on the strip for about 5 days. Mm-hmm. We stayed in the Flamingo for five Hell days. Yeah. That was wild, dude. That was wild. Yeah. Vegas is fucking wild.
I think we stayed there for 10, because when it was time to check out, they were like, hey, do you want to stay another for $15 or something? I was like, all right, sure.
Yeah, that's definitely worth it. After about the sixth day, though, I was like, run out of cash and like couldn't afford to eat. I'm like, ah, okay. Like, this is getting a little crazy.
I liked people watching, not gonna lie. I'm not a gambler. I lost $30 and that was it. I love to watch the people.
They're so interesting.
Wow, are they? And then we found out after we came back, there's people living in the, like, the drain holes under the strip.
Oh. I did not know
that. Look that shit up. Yeah. It's wild, man.
Oh, I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, Ginger, it's fucking
Ginger, kind of getting off topic here. We're doing a show, remember? We're just done with Real Life XPs. We got to take a break.
And we're then we got games, right? Will is a spoil sport.
Somebody's got to try and keep us on the rails.
Right.
Yeah.
This isn't true. The derailers. Shout
You're
out
the
to
parent. You're the parent. Hey, Will.
Hey, Ginger.
What game you play?
I played a game called Control. I actually heard Eric talk about this recently on his podcast, too.
Ooh. Impressive.
And so I figured this would be a great chance to talk about it with somebody else who's played it. It's a first-person shooter. I'm playing it on PlayStation 4. Mm-hmm. And not a first-person shooter. It's a third-person shooter. The camera's behind the person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you play as this woman, Jessie Faden, as she comes into the Federal Bureau of Control, like the FBI.
FBC.
Same thing, essentially.
That shit made me laugh. I really like there's a woman lead in this game. I was very happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
She comes into this building like to become director, and eventually you find out to look for her brother.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like the X-Files Bureau, or like, you know, Warehouse 13, I'm sure, is a division of the FBC. That warehouse in Indiana Jones, I'm sure that's part of the FBC. They handle all the supernatural stuff and hide it from the public.
Yeah. I'm glad he played this game, because I would have not played it, because the screaming enemies absolutely drove me fucking crazy. I hated it. Like, that was the worst part of this game. The screaming enemies are awful.
Mm-hmm.
But the sound in this game was great, and I found myself, like, playing without podcasts and listening to it because of, like, the great audio hints of when enemies would be nearby or anytime you could
the
come
screaming.
Across.
The screaming.
Yeah. Well, that's a big one.
Music would start out. The screaming is only when you're really close to certain ones.
Some of the music definitely was awesome.
Uh-huh.
A little more awesome than some of it in this game, but the screaming, dude. Uh-huh. Oh, it's so cringy.
But yeah.
This is definitely one. I think when we did that episode, my co-host Tom has played that. I've seen it played. I haven't had the experience to play that yet. It's on my Steam list, though, as is like 500 other games that I have yet to get to.
We're about to ruin the fuck out of it for you.
That's fine. I mean, like I said, I've seen it played, so that's totally fine.
Okay.
I'm not like one of those World 4 people. So.
Some things, no. Video games, especially if they're already been out. That new.
Yeah, I got it free through PlayStation Plus a long time ago, and just haven't gotten around to playing it until recently.
Same with me. I haven't gotten around to playing it either. I really wanted to, though. So, yeah, just go ahead and spoil away. I don't mind.
Are there any toilets in this game, Will? Or piss jugs?
There are all kinds of bathrooms. It's a really nice federal building. The first main building you see, it'd be like, you know, those, like, big, giant downtown, like, big city federal buildings that are, like, four blocks put together.
Yeah.
With, like, big open atriums. It's like that. And so they'd have the bathrooms that you'd expect. In some of the big main areas, there's large bathrooms with stalls and urinals. Men's and women's, back in the little office areas, there's smaller bathrooms. You know, with two stalls, and there's some private bathrooms, too.
Are there jugs?
Not really.
No, I didn't really see any. I was really looking.
Yeah.
It would have been great if she, like, sucked up this piss jug and smashed it into one of those enemies and it just splashed all over.
I mean, there's a coffee cups. There's one part you have to pick up a bunch of coffee cups. And
so many coffee cups. Like, I was, even in the office when we were there, like, everyone had their own coffee cup, but no one would be that rude to leave them, like, in the middle of the office for the, like, the intern to pick up.
Right.
Yeah, the interns did the mail and shit, but not the coffee cups.
The problem with all those coffee cups is, do you trust it to be clean when you grab it after the intern picked it up and they were the one that cleaned it? I'd rather bring in my own mug.
Oh, definitely.
Yep.
There's no way the shared work mugs are clean. There's no chance.
Right.
No, you're cleaning that shit before you're using it.
Definitely.
So yeah, Jesse like explores this building, and it's run by a mysterious board of directors, or just the board, which is like a force from the astral plane or something that talks through a black pyramid. Only the director can understand. She gets like a magical gun that only the director can use. The previous director committed suicide, and it's like this shape-shifting gun that can have like 5-6 different firing modes. You get to pick two active that you can switch in between. But I didn't use the gun very much because also early in the game, she gets these psychic powers where she can, like, grab stuff and make it float and then hurl it at enemies.
That shit is sweet.
It does more damage than the gun, and it locks on, so it's easier to hit people with it, too.
If I could do that, I would never use a gun either. Shit, I would just hurl shit at people with my brain all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is why, and then never, it's also fun because, like,
yeah, it's like so realistic office. I work in building offices, so it's nice to be able to go in there and like just make a ped float and then go send it flying into the cubicles and they all shatter and paper go flying everywhere. Yeah,
it's satisfying watching as well.
Yeah, they make really good use of like harsh lighting in some areas and like gentle lighting in others to evoke moods. And then as you branch out, there's like a power plant, there's like caves and quarries, and the section elevator takes you from what seems like an entire building up and down. I think I have a theory that the section elevator isn't just up and down, that it might go horizontally, you know, because you go from the middle of one giant building to, like, the edge of a giant power plant that leads to a rock quarry. Then you can take the elevator again, and, yeah, there's just so much to this building.
Yeah, and the, like, the rooms fixing themselves. Like, if you have any sort of seizures from lights or flashing shit, do not fucking play this game. Don't watch this game. It will fuck you up.
Oh, jeez.
Like, there's a couple, like, seriously. Yeah. I don't really say that about many games, but this one would be one, if you are very sensitive to, like, moving stuff, like, just maybe watch it first. And yeah, it's just weird. It's a weird game.
Yeah. The building itself is object of power. It's like a living artifact and buildings shift. I really like the correspondence that you can pick up throughout the game, all the letters and case files. There's one about a guy who was complaining about his reimbursement check. He didn't get his reimbursement check after he sent off his receipts in the mail tube to the accounting department. And they said that it probably got... because there's like in the mail tubes, like at the banks that suck up the... those are all over the building going from section to section. Like, oh yeah, I probably got lost in the mail tube when the building shifted. Do you have the originals? Can you resubmit copies? He's like, no, I don't still have the originals. God damn it. Why do we have these mail tubes if they're always losing shit?
Yeah. And that's even an impressive thing to put in a giant building like that.
Yep, there's lots of little details that you can find if you read the paperwork or listen to the audio files. One guy brought an object home from work, and it made a rubber ducky in his house like become magic and like killed his family.
Nope.
Oh.
The bureau got the rubber ducky back, but then I found another audio file of a female scientist, and she was doing an experiment, and she was talking to this thing, and she tried like burning it with a blowtorch, and tried water and then acid and like a bunch of different, she tried cutting it, and then she asked it if it could quack. I think she was talking to that rubber ducky that was referenced earlier.
Had to have been.
Yeah. Definitely.
That's intense.
Wild.
Uh-huh.
Monster kill. These fucking monsters in this game are like all contorted and floating and shit.
Yep, you have to fight the people who worked there, but they became possessed with, they call it the hiss. And it's like a resonance from the astral plane that came over and possessed everybody and turns them into, I don't know, about a dozen different kinds of monsters.
Yeah, really creepy. Or, like, weird.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know even how to explain how they move. Like, they almost are, like, glitchy. Or, like, glitches moving and shit, which... Yeah. When that one glitch was coming at you screaming, I was like, dude, I'm so glad you're playing this game.
I would not be able to do this.
Nope. If I saw that in real life, I would shit myself and probably pass out.
Oh, you're talking about one of those astral beings they're indestructible, and it's just like a big ball of black cubes and static that like just glitches and moves.
Fuck that thing.
That's indestructible, and that's what screams very unpleasantly when it gets really close to you and starts damaging you.
Fuck that entire thing. They did not have to put that shit in the game. At least the screaming part. Yeah. Like, the glitchy thing is weird and stuff, but the screaming, like, why?
And the first one of those, I had to trap behind, like, this, like, reinforced garage door. And I couldn't figure, I didn't realize that I had to trap it. And so I was like opening these doors and just walking in circle between the three garage doors. This thing kept chasing me, but I had to lure it down a hallway and then run out and close the door behind me. Yeah, your brother's possessed by the hiss, and you're possessed by this thing you call Polaris. It's later known as the Hedron, I think, because of the shape it is. It's a weird story, but if you like X-Files, Warehouse 13 type stuff.
Yeah, very sci-fi. It's pretty cool.
It's definitely on my list to play. I definitely want to play it. I just missed out on it when it came out. I think that was like it was like a couple years ago it came out, right? I think.
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah.
I think I saw.
And it's very accessible. With one of the things that made me want to play it on PlayStation, I heard about the difficulty options.
Oh, okay.
And not only can you adjust the difficulty, you can adjust how much health you have, your energy. You can give it snap-on aim, and you can give it hold-on aim. So, I mean, if you play like that, you don't have to aim even. It'll just snap onto the enemies and kill them.
Okay.
That's great.
I turned those on just to try them out. I was like, no, I want to, you know, be able to aim on my own. So I turned those off. But I did turn on invulnerability, so I had infinite health playing through it. It would take you all the way down to like just a little tiny sliver and still distort your vision and everything. But it was impossible to get killed from enemy fire.
That's nice.
It's like, sweet, I can run through this game pretty quick with that.
Yeah. I'm a fan of that, too. It's like sometimes at the end of the day, you just don't want to deal with the hardness. It's just like, I just want to experience it and just come home and not be mad at the video game at the end of the day.
And it lets more people enjoy the game.
Right.
You know, it's not super gatekeepy.
Yep. I wanted to explore the building. I didn't want to get super good at fighting a boss.
Exactly. And I don't want to have to worry about the screaming thing chasing me, dying to that every time. So.
Right.
That I can't kill. Mm-hmm. It's just running at me screaming. Mm-hmm. What the fuck?
Yeah, all right, awesome.
I can't get to everything in this game, but there's one more thing I want to talk about is the on the way to dimensional research, you have to go through this thing called the ashtray maze, and well, you can go there earlier and you'll get lost, but later on, the janitor gives you his Sony Walkman with a tape and says, here, yes. This song is for you, it will help get you through, and you go to this maze where, like, you'll walk up to a wall and it tessellates and fractates and opens up into a hallway. And then you go to a hallway and it'll like tessellate and fractate down into a like a closed door. And you'll have to turn and go the other way that opens up. But you walk in with this headphone and like this metal song about taking control starts playing. And all the right doors so open, wait. All the That's right awesome. Paths open. And so you just walk through and it's, you know, going left, right, and it's trippy. And then people start leaving. It's just a hotel hallway. It kind of reminds me of the Shining building.
Oh, yeah.
People start leaving their shoes outside of doors. And then you like have to go through one and you'll be walking on the ceiling instead of the floor. And then you'll have to use your jumps and it like everything shifts and moves and it's really trippy going through this maze.
That was a really cool part that I liked. The song was pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. So that's Control from the makers of Cooking Mama and Zumba Fitness.
Really?
Yes.
That was their previous two games? They went from that to Control?
Yeah, that was how they got their start. Yeah, I guess, with Cooking Mama and Zumba Fitness.
I guess you got to start somewhere. I mean,
right?
That's so funny.
Okay. So this week I...
Hey, Eric.
Oh, sorry.
What game you play?
Well...
It's okay. No worries.
Man. Well, this week I finished a game on Xbox called Death's Door. It's by Acid Nerve and Devolver Digital. It's like a $20 indie game that just came out last month or a couple months ago. It's a like isometric view, like top-down kind of Link to the Past style, like dungeon crawler. That's the type of gameplay it is. And in the game, you play as a tiny little adorable crow, like a little bird that has a fucking sword. And in this world, the crows are like the reapers of souls. They like transition the soul from like life to death. So when the game starts, you are given a soul to reap and you go out and you reap the soul. But what ends up happening is that someone else comes along and steals your soul that you're supposed to reap. They're trying to open the Death's Door, which is like, ooh, that's the title of the game, Death's Door. And it doesn't work. And what that explains in the lore is that like, since you weren't able to complete your contract with the soul, like you're now mortal and like you can die. And you're tasked with collecting these other souls to ultimately open Death's Door and kind of just unravel the mystery behind that. And so it's a relatively short game. You can finish it in about like 10 to 12 hours if you are just kind of going through it. It's, like I said, it's a very like Link to the Past style, like Zelda dungeon crawler, like top down. But it does have some like Dark Souls elements to it where it's like, it can be pretty challenging. The bosses can definitely be challenging. Every boss every enemy you kill, you get like souls that you can like spend on upgrades and upgrade your attacks or get magic or that sort of thing. And really like super fast paced combat. And the world's beautiful. It's almost like this. It's not like a really vibrant world. It's like there are colors, but they're like almost toned down with like the grays and just kind of like the message that the game is telling. And all the music in the game is like very somber and like reflecting around this tale of like death and morality and those kind of story themes. So like it's kind of like a sombering story, but just the way it's delivered is like very touching and very beautiful. But the gameplay is also like really fast and action paced and stuff like that.
This sounds like fun. Sounds like something right up my alley.
It is.
Especially something talking and bringing up death, because not enough people talk about it. They're really scared. Mm-hmm. But it's like one thing we're all guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Like we're all gonna die.
And that's one of the...
Speak for yourself.
Willie will never die. And that is one of the really things that touched me about the story in the game, was when you're tasked to hunt down these three souls three big bosses that you're tasked with hunting down. As you go through their different levels, they kind of like, they talk to you and they show up and they kind of taunt you as you go through their levels. And, as it gets closer to the point of you confronting them and ultimately like reaping their souls, it kind of like shows them grow like more desperate and more crazy as like they're confronted with the fact of their own like morality or mortality, not morality, but in cases morality too, because some of the stuff they do is kind of fucked up. And that whole message just really, really hit a tone with me. If you listen to the show, like Final Fantasy IX is my favorite game of all time. And that deals with a lot of the same, like, you know, accepting your death, accepting your fate and meaning of life stuff. And this game just does it great.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
IX is is a very great game.
Yes, and the characters are great. One character is literally just a guy with a pot of soup for a head. So it's just really awesome character design and that stuff.
And I like ravens, crows. I mean, they're in the same family. They're super smart birds.
And I don't know if it's supposed to be like an adorable, but the little bird that you play is like super adorable. I love it. And then you start to like, as you play through the game, you unravel this conspiracy around like the original Death, who's like the Reaper. Why isn't he doing it anymore? And like, who are these people that are running this? It's very much the concept of Death is corporatized, because like when you go back to the hub world, it's like you're in an office setting, and it's like the crows are like working desk jobs and going out to reap the souls and coming back and doing paperwork. So it's a very like corporatized view of Death. And as you
well, you know why Death isn't doing it anymore? He's stuck in that one chess game with Ted, or Bill and Ted.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly why he's that.
Stuck
yeah.
there.
Yeah. So it gives, anyways. Yeah, it gives you this, like, just for it to be presented that way, it's just like, oh, like, Death is just someone else's corporate job that they're doing is really interesting. But as you go through the game, and I won't spoil it because it's relatively new, you start to kind of unravel this conspiracy as to, like, why things are happening the way they are, and not everything is the way that it seems, and you know, the people at the top of this corporation are actually pretty shady. Like, you know, all corporations are the top people at all, most corporations.
Imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that. So, yeah, that was great. It's about 10 to 12 hours of playthrough. You can get more playthrough out of it because there's, like, collectibles and stuff to go through. And the collectibles give you just a little more insight into the world. But it's just beautiful music, beautiful game. Definitely one of the top games of the year for me, which was surprising. So if you have a chance to pick that up and play it,
Oh, play it? It sounds awesome. Yes. I'm going to have to check it out. So since this is in a office, are there toilets?
I didn't see.
Or does anyone have like a piss jug, like Amazon workers?
So
I don't want to put that down because it's horrible what Amazon is doing to their workers, but
right.
There's no piss jugs or toilets?
So I didn't see that there were any toilets. The office setting is very like, you can see below the office is just like a giant gray void, and there are just like floating islands kind of attached everywhere. None of them were a bathroom.
Okay.
But scattered throughout the world, much like Zelda, there's pots and boxes and jugs and things you can break. So I imagine that was the thing I was looking for when I was finishing the game and I knew I was coming out. I'm like, yeah, you could probably use those boxes or jugs for that.
The jug. Absolutely. I mean, mm-hmm. Dragon Quest Builders confirmed it after we confirmed it.
Yeah.
Like, that is a legit toilet. A jug. Like, a pot. A jar. Right. It's a utensil that can hold stuff.
There are sequences, too, where you see people, like, behind bars and there are buckets in the corner. So I imagine that too would also qualify. So,
I mean, yes.
Those people got to go to the bathroom somewhere. So,
Oh, that is great.
This sounds like it could fit into the same world as Hello Death. That's the game I played where you are the Grim Reaper,
mm-hmm.
but you're stuck at a desk and people come down and you gotta choose whether they go to heaven, hell, or purgatory.
Okay.
Based on, you know, certain visual cues, you can tell if they've killed somebody or like starved orphans.
Oh,
or,
okay.
You know, help someone. And so you gotta quick choose and so Death might be stuck there sending people to, you know, heaven, hell, or purgatory. Well, the crows are sending them all these people.
Yeah, definitely. It does definitely sound like type of... And then just the ending was just, like, really emotional. And one of the things that's really cool, too, is so every time there's a character in it who's, like, the gravekeeper, and he, like buries people and does eulogies for them when they die. And every time you defeat one of the big bosses, there's a cutscene afterwards where, like, he comes and he does a eulogy for the boss while, like, you're standing there. It's kind of like, oh, you don't really ever see that in video games. Most times you just kill the boss and move on. And it's just like you're kind of like paying respect to the boss that you just defeated and kind of giving it a proper send-off. Because the story is like some of these bosses, yeah, they've done some messed up things. But, you know, morality is kind of like a gray area. And like who's like supposed to be like the judge and this sort of thing. That's kind of less than the game's trying to import to you. And so I was just kind of like, oh, that's kind of like, you know, you give the boss like a final like farewell, like, you know. A funeral at the end of it. It's just I never experienced anything in a game like that before. So it's just little touches like that really bring out the tenderness in the world. So
I like too that games have more of that side of what people actually deal with in their real lives to, you know, maybe help cope with some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool, though.
Yeah. So if you can, it's
I
on.
I want to play this.
I know it's on Xbox, and I know it's on PC. I can't imagine that they wouldn't port it to the Switch because it seems like a obvious Switch game. But I think it's Xbox PC exclusive right now.
Nice.
Not on Game Pass, unfortunately, though.
Ah,
I was disappointed too.
It'll be there.
That's why I signed up for Game Pass in the first place, because I wanted to play this game and I had to pay more money for it. So,
damn it,
Ginger, are we gonna have to buy a game?
We'll see.
It's worth.
Yeah, how many months have we had this Xbox? I haven't bought a single game for it.
You almost don't need to anymore. I mean, got Game Pass.
I know. I made sure to get the one with the disc drive, but hey, at least it plays DVDs still.
That's true.
Hey, Ginger.
Yeah.
Come get some.
Okay.
Looks like you're fucked.
Jeez. I better just leave.
Terrorists win.
Ginger, what game you play?
Are you sure you want me to share this information?
I just had to get my button finger warmed up.
Okay. I play Clubhouse Games 51 Worldwide Classics on the Switch.
Holy shit.
So this is a pretty fun game on the Switch. It's just a bunch of board or card games. Mm-hmm. I mean, and other games that are kind of popular around the world and digitalized, which is really nice, especially some of the ones where are from different countries,
board and card games. There's a couple video game varieties in there, too.
Yep. There's 51. And I'm going to list them all. So,
unstoppable.
There's Mancala, which I used to play the shit out of this in, like, grade school. Uh-huh. The, like, stones, and then you gotta scoop up and just collect as many stones.
Are you gonna read them or talk about each one as you read
dots
them?
Dots and boxes. We know what dots and boxes is. Yacht dice, which is actually Yahtzee.
It's actually legally distinct from Yahtzee.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, whatever.
So they can't get sued.
That would be bad.
Four in a row, which is connect four.
But yet legally distinct.
Right.
Yep. Hit and blow, which is weird. I don't like that game. It's like there's five colored pegs, and you have to guess this, like, what colors and what position they're in. Mm. So it's just weird. Nine Men's Morris, which it's Roman classic. I played it a couple times, but whatever. It's just weird. Hex, which is just making a path with hexagonal tiles. Checkers. We know what checkers is.
Uh-huh.
Hare and Hounds, which I don't like this game. It's stupid and dumb.
I do like one. That one's creative. You're the dog, and you have to stop
the
hares.
Dog
or the hare. The three hares can move forward into the side, and the dog can move any direction, and he's got to try and stop the hares from getting all the way across.
Yeah, or basically, like, on the other side of you.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I'm bad at it. That's why I don't like it. Gumoku, it's just first to five wins, so five in a row. Like, little black and white disc tile things. Dominoes! Chinese checkers. Ludo, which is like, sorry. Backgammon. Renegade. Chess. Shoji. And I want to play it, but Will's like, I don't want to play it. It's hard.
I didn't want to learn it late last night.
He didn't want me to kick his ass at it because I've never played it, and I would have probably kicked his ass because I don't know what I'm doing.
The same reason I don't want to play Mario Party with Taylor is because she just whoops my ass every time, so. And I get way too competitive.
Mini Shoji. Hanafuda. I liked this game because I whipped Will's ass at it, and it's really a pretty, like, picture card game. Mm-hmm. Never played it before this Clubhouse Games.
that's how Nintendo started, was printing Hanafuda decks. And it's a deck of cards that has
seasons and months.
There's 12 seasons worth of cards, and each season has four different like versions of that season.
And that, and you said so that's how Nintendo started? I actually did not know that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. They were originally Hanafuda shop or printers.
That's awesome.
Before reaching into electronics in like the late 1800s, I think.
Nice. All right. So Richie Mahjong, which I haven't played this one. It's like a competitive Mahjong game.
Yeah.
The last card.
That's how you play Mahjong with the not matching solitaire Mahjong.
I like the matching one. last card, which is like Uno. Blackjack. So, okay, here comes all the games that I will probably never fucking play because I don't care. I'm not into poker or anything like that. But Blackjack, Texas Hold'em, President, Sevens, Speed. I used to play the shit out of that.
Yeah.
In elementary school.
Oh, yeah. Us too.
Yeah, that was fun.
Card game.
Yep. Card game. Matching.
Card game.
Yep. Yeah. War. Which, who hasn't played War?
Right.
Who wants a video game version of War, though?
I don't know. I like Takoyaki. I liked this. It was like you set out 10 cards and you pull one and you have to do 1 through 10 and all the face cards don't matter. And the Joker you can put on any card. I really liked that one. Pig's Tail. Which is just picking up a card. Golf, which is pretty fun. It's a little
Game. Like actually a mini like golf video game.
That's awesome.
It's pretty fun. Billiards.
Which is an actual pool video game. You can play 8-ball or 9-ball or
Bowling, which is like bowling. Mm-hmm. Darts. I'm not sure if I really like the darts on here.
I like the darts. It's got motion control with the Wiimote, so you have to do,
Well, you can also do touch screen if you're in handheld mode.
Okay.
Carom. Oh, Carom? Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Will. Toy tennis, which is like a little tennis game. Toy soccer. Toy curling, which is pretty fun.
That's one of my favorites in this whole mix. That's the toy curling.
I saw that one on the list. I'm like, I would be totally into that, right?
Yeah. Toy boxing, which was fun. I ended up beating all of the levels in that. It's almost like a Rock'em Sock'em Robots without pushing up the head. You just got to push them over the sides. Toy baseball. Air hockey, which Will, you're welcome. I don't know how many fucking times I put the fucking puck in my own thing, giving him the fucking point.
It's just like real air hockey.
For real, though. Slot cars, which is really fun. It's like a little slot car game. Fishing. Battle tanks. And then team tanks, which is like...
Yeah, that's awesome. That's like the tank game from Wii Play.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Shooting gallery. 6-ball puzzle.
The 6-ball puzzle is like a Puyo Puyo pop clone.
Yeah, which is, it's kind of fun. Yeah. Sliding puzzle. You're either a turtle or a hair toy, and you have to pick up gems and slide a puzzle around to get them to get them to pick up all the gems. Mahjong solitaire. Beat all of them. They're amazing. I like it. Klondike solitaire, which... It's with like cards, normal solitaire, one pull or one flip or three. Spider solitaire, which is fun.
I prefer spider on an electronic medium.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like on electronic. And then just a piano. So you have a little bit of keys and you can just hit a piano.
That seems
so like... there's no piss jugs. There's no toilets. But if you're in handheld mode, you can play on the toilet.
There you go. It seems like a lot of value for, like, you have 51 games in one, essentially. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a really fun...
And it's $40 for the game collection.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Which is good.
You can play online with other people with this, which is really great. Makes it pretty easy.
Yep. Shout out to Tall Hands. I fell asleep during a game of chess with him once.
Yeah.
Playing late night chess, and so I was waiting for him to take his turn. And I fell asleep.
Mm-hmm. That was hilarious. We're all in the chat, and I'm talking, and then Riku's like, "Hey, Will, move." And I look over, and Will's like, head down, sleeping. He's like, he fell asleep, Riku. And we both laughed and woke him up in the chat. So it was perfect. That's amazing. R.I.P. So, Riku.
Yeah, you can play any of these multiplayer games online, whether they're 2 or 4 player games. You can play it online with 2 and 4 people.
Yep.
Many of them you can play on one Switch. Like if it's one where everybody has a hand of cards that the other people can't see, you can't play it on one Switch. But then like all the board games, you can just lay it out in the middle and pass a controller. You can hook 4 different switches together in local mode without the internet in order to play versus. And you can download a free version of this game that doesn't let you go and play it. But if your friend has the game and you have the free version, then you can boot it up on your Switch to play multiplayer together.
Which is pretty cool. If you don't want to go out and buy the whole game, you'll have a couple games to play
You don't have to have 4 friends have to all buy the game. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there's another feature where if more than one people have the full game on their Switch, you can lay your Switches out on the table and tile them together into one screen. You can do that for fishing. And, like, fishing is, like, a top-down view of a river, and you cast and reel in the fish. And so you can make, like, 4 switches linked together with 1 big screen and move across them. And you can also do that with the track car racing. And you can set your screens next to each other. And then it has you, in order to know how they're positioned, it says draw a line through all of the screens. And it figures out where they're laying and makes a custom track based on how the screens are laid out next to each other.
It's a sweet game.
That's what I was going to ask about, because I saw that on the Nintendo page that I'm on, because I looked up the game. I wanted to see the list of games, and it's just like, that's crazy how that works. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love a good compiling of, like, either mini games or, you know, kind of simpler games. Uh-huh. It reminds me of WarioWare, and, like, I can't wait for the new WarioWare to come out.
So excited.
Might be out by the time we're talking. I fucking love those. But, like, mini games are fun. Uh-huh. You don't have to dump a bunch of fucking time into it. Just a little time killer if you're waiting for something. It's a fun game.
It's a good collection for, like, the family parties where, like, your 6-year-old nephew is going to want to play Connect 4 with your grandma. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. Yeah. Or maybe you can't find a deck of cards, and then you got some.
Right.
It's cool.
Or if you want to learn how to play shogi, Japanese chess.
Exactly. Or the picture card game. I forget the name.
Hanafuda.
Yeah, Hanafuda. I like it. It's a pretty game. I like it. And plus, I kicked Will's ass at it.
That makes it all the better, honestly.
Impressive.
Yeah. So, yeah, Clubhouse Games 51, Home, whatever. What's the fucking full long-ass name of it again? Clubhouse Games 51 Worldwide Classics.
I'm definitely going to pick that up. That looks awesome.
It's really worth it, for sure.
I wonder what the first one was called. I wonder, was that just Clubhouse Games? The Nintendo DS one?
Maybe. We have that, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah, I played. Sure. That only had like 35 games, so they added more games for this.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was a series, I'll be honest.
Yep, that's at least the second one in the series, at least according to US releases.
Well, now I learned something today, so there you go. And Hanafuda, I learned 2 things today, so that definitely a double.
Yeah, that Hanafuda game is cool.
As long as you have a computer there telling you, because There's like weird matching sets. Like if you get a deer, a boar, and a full moon, it's called like night water or something, and gives you 12 points.
Interesting.
And
look, it's a game that you would have to learn over, like at a young age pick it up quicker. It's just like the pairings and everything. Yeah. Uh-huh. I would like to learn it, but that would take a lot, I think.
Okay.
Select your player.
Oh, now it's time for...
recommendations.
Doot-doot.
Oh, shit. We're supposed to have recommendations ready?
Yeah, we're supposed to.
I do. I'm going to recommend a podcast. I'm going to recommend, like, a big... highly financed one that has lots of commercials in it, but it's an audio drama that's been on recently and I've enjoyed it. It's called Aftershock.
Okay.
And it stars, what's his name? Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Negan from The Walking Dead.
Oh, sweet.
Oh.
He's one of the voices.
Asshole, but a great asshole, I guess.
But there are a couple other, like, actors that I don't know because I don't follow that, but yeah, there's like television, like what do they call it? Prestige television actors doing an audio drama that's well financed. And it's about there's an earthquake that kind of like broke California off, and like the U.S. is, you know, trying to cope with this disaster after a big earthquake that ruined cities and killed a bunch of people. And this mysterious island pops up in the ocean off the coast of California. And you mostly follow some people who, like, moved to that island to claim it and to settle it. And they're, like, saying it's, like, a promised land and they want to open a settlement there. There's a Hawaiian girl who moved out and she tried to claim the land for Hawaii. And then there's, like, a plague that starts making people sick.
Oh, no.
Then there's, like, the people on the island and the people on the aircraft carrier. Like, the army. And, yeah. And then there's also some drama between, like, a racist dude moves to the island and starts causing some problems. And,
of course.
But, yeah.
Go away, racist. Exactly. No one wants you around.
Why do they have to ruin all the good stuff?
Try to ruin it. The motherfuckers are not ruining shit for me.
You're right.
Fuck them.
So yeah, it's up to like episode 8 or 9 now. When you listen to it, be ready to skip forward through a few commercials. It's like a half hour podcast and there's like 2 commercial breaks with like 3 or 4 commercials each. But as long as you're willing to deal with that, no biggie.
Alright. That's good. What was it again?
Aftershock.
I got another podcast that I found. It is called... I have it pulled up on my phone. It is called Path of a Green Witch, Herbalist, Homestead, Farmer. It is a gal named Andrea, and she is a wild green witch. She has Hispanic and deep roots in Jamaica. And she talked about Queen Nanny in her first episode. But she's just a green witch talking about green witch stuff. And I've really enjoyed it. She has a unique voice. And I really appreciate that in a podcast. Like, I've learned one thing about podcasts. If your voice annoys me, I'm not listening. Or if it captivates me, I'm like, I can't get enough.
Right.
And I really enjoy this podcast. And yeah, it's been neat to just kind of hear another witch podcast. So, A Path of a Green Witch.
I'm writing down both of those so I can go and listen later.
I found her stuff on Spotify.
Okay. That's where I primarily listen.
That's fair.
Eric, have you got a recommendation?
Yes. I would actually like to recommend one of my, well, friends. I met him on the internet, but I consider them friends. One of my friends' podcasts. It is called the Play Along Podcast. And the good group of guys over there, Jared, Ben, and Kai. And what they do is they sit down and they play a video game in like a book club style format. So they play a chunk of the game and talk about it like every week. So they just got done playing Super Mario RPG. They did a short in-between episode on Doom. They're going to be playing A Plague Tale Innocence next. And they've played...
Oh, nice.
They played Ocarina of Time. They've played Firewatch, and they've played a bunch of different games. So their podcast is just getting started that I found, and it's really good content. They have some awesome discussion, and they do it right. They are able to have differing opinions without shouting at each other, which is rare in this day and ages. So if you definitely get a chance to, it's called the Play Along Podcast. Go and give it a listen. And they break the games into different, they don't just play a one game per episode, they break it into chunks. So they spent like 10 episodes on Mario RPG because that's a longer game. So yeah, yep. I've really enjoyed that, and I definitely go check them out if you can.
Yeah, cool. I was just going to ask you how long it took them to get through Super Mario RPG. How many episodes?
They think they have 10
episodes. So about 10, you said?
Yeah, about 10. Right. And that was using a guide, too. So, but obviously, to get through, sometimes right. You gotta. So.
I still have physical copy, like, books and guides and stuff.
I do, too. So.
For some of my RPGs.
Yeah, Brett, we just had on our show recently, they just played Super Mario RPG on Skeleton House.
Oh, okay.
And they took about 30 episodes to go through it because they were doing it without guide.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that there's a difference right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's my recommendation.
Nice. Cool.
All right. And now plug SideQuesting, your video game show, and all your social media.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we are the SideQuesting podcast. You can find us, I think, pretty much wherever podcasts are found. And if you can't find us there, you can message me and I'll get it there if that's where you prefer to listen to. I am on Twitter.
I can vouch for that.
Yes, really messaged me. He's like, can you put it up here so I can listen? And I'm like, sure. And it ended up getting up there, right?
Yep.
Okay, awesome. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at The One True Sire. My partner, Tom, he's on Twitter at RedBible26. And we have a podcast Twitter as well. I think it's just Pod SideQuest, I believe is what it is. Instagram, SideQuesting Podcast. And you can email us if you'd like to, SideQuestingPodcast@gmail.com. That's pretty much everywhere that we're located currently. No Facebook because I don't want to deal with Zuckerberg. So,
yeah, fart sucker really exactly. Has been making Instagram.
I was like, I don't have
like fucking Facebook, dude.
I was like, I don't have
any own it.
I was like, I don't have any information or misinformation to disseminate to the masses, so I probably shouldn't be on Facebook. So,
yeah, I started one for our podcast page, but I'm hardly on Facebook because I had to fucking make a real page, and I had people like. Reaching out to me saying, is that really you? Yeah, it's me. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
But you should get back on there, Ginger, and start the disinformation campaign that everyone should listen to our show.
Yes.
That would be a worthy disinformation campaign, so.
Yes.
Absolutely. I go on there and say, our podcast comes out every Saturday. So
is that disinformation? Like if it's true, though, I mean,
I mean, for like maybe we can say it is, but it's not. I don't know. Isn't that how it works?
Tell them Saturday, but put it out on Sunday. Then it's
yeah. You could tell them that they have to join our Patreon at patreon.com/grandrapidiansplayvideogames, like our supporters did.
And speaking of our supporters, we'd like to thank Mike Gagne of Boston Harbor Horror, Chris Copleen of The Retro Hangover, Dan the Movie Seller from The Movie Seller, JD Lowe, and you can find him at jdlowe.ninja, and Canadian Greg with cartmart.games.
Yeah, JD better fix his .ninja website if we keep telling people about it. I went there like 2 days ago and it was under construction.
Hey, I'm not even going to bitch about anyone's website because ours isn't completely finished. It's just up there. Sorry.
Ours at grpvg.com.
Yep. And we would like to thank Inadequacy for our outro music and Rappy McRapperson for our intro music.
We do. And we did, and we're done.
Goodbye.
Well.
Thanks for listening to another episode of GRPVG.
Yes. And if you'd like to join our Patreon, we are at patreon.com/GrandRapidians Play Video Games.
Yep. We'll send you stickers every month and we'll shout you out every episode.
Yes.
Send us an email at GrandRapidiansPlayVideoGames@gmail.com.
Yeah, and you can find us on Twitter at Grand_Video and Instagram at GrandRapidiansPlayVideoGames.
You can give us a call at 9167-WILLIE as 9167. My name, Willie.
It's a real number.
Leave us a message. We'll get back with you. We'll play it on the air if you want.
Yep. And also, if you would like to give us a rating on whatever podcatcher you can.
iTunes, Podchaser.
And send us a picture of your 5-star rating, and we'll send you some stickers.
And you can find us on every platform on our Linktree, linktr.ee/GrandRapidians.
Goodbye.